Welcome to the Victory in Living broadcast with your hosts, Ray and Pam Jackson. We are coming to you every week to bring words of encouragement and insights into living a victorious Christian life. Psalms 138, 7 through 8 says, "Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you will revive me. You will stretch out your hand against the wrath of mine enemies, and your right hand will save me. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Your mercy, O Lord, endures forever. Do not forsake the works of your hands." Jeremiah 29:11 reads, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So plan on joining us every Saturday morning for good singing, testimonies, and the Word. But before we get into the lesson for today, let's ask Ray to come and sing for us.
Actually, before I get ready to sing, I want to make an announcement concerning the Family Worship Center, where we have been attending and with Pastors James and Alma Lampeth. We're going to be meeting, though, this Sunday at a different location. The address is 405 Belmont Street, Saginaw, Texas. This is a log cabin-like building right behind the fire station. We'll be having our regular worship service starting at 10 a.m. and then serving lunch. Come be with us and enjoy getting to know these wonderful people. Now, Pam, I can sing.
All right, Ray, and I believe that we're ready to hear you sing a good song, and I believe you're going to sing
Jesus Use Me.
All right, here's Ray.
Dear Lord, I'll be a witness if you will help my weakness. Well, I know that I'm not worthy, Lord, of thee. By eyes of faith I'll see thee upon the cross of Calvary. Dear Lord, I'll cry, let me thy servant be. Oh, Jesus, use me. Well, and, oh Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there's a work that I can do. Well, and even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Well, though the cost be great, I'll work for you. I'll stand for you, dear Jesus, though death may come my way. I'll spread the gospel to the fallen here. But if it be thy will, Lord, to go across the sea, Lord, help me to be willing to say yes. Now he's the lily of the valley. Well, he's the bright and the morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's a beautiful rose of Sharon. He's all the world to me. Oh, but best of all, he is my coming King. Oh, Jesus, use me. And, oh, Lord, don't refuse me. Oh, for surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Although the cost be great, I'll work for you.
All right, Ray, that was great. I always enjoy your singing because I know that it comes from your heart. And, you know, as you're sitting your guitar down, I'm going to take this time to talk a little bit about our website. And I just want to be sure that the people know that they can visit that website and find the outlines of what we're teaching on And there's also worksheets to go along with the outlines that if you really want to know what your motivational gift is, you need to download that and fill them out as we go. And there's also instruction sheets on how to use those worksheets. Those are all on our website. And just go on the website and you can find it under the headings of that. So as we get ready to take an in-depth look at all the motivational gifts, their characteristics, as well as their problem areas, it's important to remember, regardless what category you fall into, we all must do what we're gifted to do so that God is glorified. Amen?
Right, Pam. The most important thing is always to bring glory to God. We are beginning today with the perceiver. First, we're going to look at the characteristics, and then we will also look at the problem areas of having the gift of perceiving. Let's get started, and let's talk a little bit about what is a perceiver. They are the ones who are especially sensitive to perceiving the will of God and then proclaiming it, or depending upon the Lord's direction, praying for it to be accomplished.
So we could say that the perceiver is the one who readily perceives, prays about, proclaims, and promotes the will of God.
Right, Pam.
Okay, Ray, we're going to look at 20 characteristics of the perceiver in detail with biblical examples. And if you haven't printed a copy of this week's worksheet, I would encourage you to do so now.
Amen.
So here we go with the characteristics of the perceiver. The first characteristic is that they quickly and accurately identify good and evil and hates evil. We see that they view people or situations as either in the will of God or out of the will of God. And to a perceiver, there's no such thing as sort of in the will of God, because in his understanding, not to be perfectly in the will of God is to be out of the will of God. They see life as a matter of choices. They view the option to choose right as imperative. Not to choose right is by default, right, choosing wrong. Compromise to a perceiver is not an option. They have an intense hatred for evil. Their desire is to see evil overcome and eliminated, and the kingdom of God is and the kingdom of God evidenced here on this earth. The one that we find in the Bible that was so strong as a perceiver would be John the Baptist. From the very beginning of his ministry, he exposed evil and identified with and expressed God's hatred of it, even when his stand meant prison and death. You know, in our society today, spokesmen for righteousness and just causes are frequently gifted perceivers. Their gift equips them to be bold and outspoken without regard for either public esteem or their own advantage.
Right. So the perceiver sees everything, too, as either black or sees white.
That's number
there's
two.
There's no gray. There's no indefinite areas. Number A, perceivers make decisions easily. They also make quick evaluations. They see things are right or wrong, true or false. To them, there can be no in-between. Pam, most of us think in terms of black through many shades of gray to white. Most of people would agree with this statement. I'm not doing as well as I might, but at least I'm doing better than I did yesterday.
True.
But perceivers don't think this way. To them, there is no halfway measures.
That's true, right? And that was number two. Number three is perceivers easily perceives the character of individuals and groups. You know, a perceiver finds it easy to get the feel of an individual or of a group. Now, mind you, it's not by the outward appearance, but it's by the intuition that the perception that they're given by their gift. again, look at John the Baptist in Matthew 3 and 7. It says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to his baptism, he said to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? He perceived that the Pharisees and the Sadducees had not come to repent,
right,
but to judge, criticize, and condemn. You know, a perceiver does not know everything about a person. God shows them only what he wants them to see.
That's important.
That's right. And always for a purpose. Usually, so that perceiver can effectively, now get this, it's an important point, they can pray for that person. Know when to pray for a person. Not judge, criticize, or condemn. And you don't always go and tell a person that God's told me about you.
Right.
But you take it to your prayer closet.
That's good, Pam. We really need to what? Pray for people. Not always trying to, what they're calling, reading their mail.
That's right.
In saying this, we look at characteristic number 4. It says, encourages repentance that produces good fruit. Notice that after John challenged the spirituality of the Pharisees and Sadducees, he went on to say in Matthew 3 and 8, bring forth fruit that is consistent with repentance. Let your lives prove your change of heart.
Mm-hmm.
John knew that only a genuine and evident change in their behavior would prove that inward condition of a repentant heart. B, perceivers learn to observe the fruit of a person's life so they can diagnose underlying problems. Remember that the evidence of bad fruit is the evidence of bad roots. Pray for the exposure of the cause of bad roots. Help identify the cause and help the person repent. Now, this is things perceiver needs to do. Then watch the good fruit and watch it begin to come forth.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, those things right there are really, really important. And then in characteristic 5, we find that a perceiver believes the acceptance of difficulties will produce personal brokenness. Now, we really need to look at this one real close because most of us avoid problems.
Right.
We don't see them as tools for growth. But this is not true of the perceiver. They rejoice in the opportunity for these times to work brokenness in their lives.
Pam, what do you mean by brokenness?
Well, by brokenness, we mean that experience of once again coming to the end of ourselves where we say, God, I can't handle this. I can't do anything without you. Help me, Lord.
You know, Pam, could be the most spiritual prayer we can utter. Help, Lord.
You know, you're right. Those two words could be the most important prayer. Help, Lord, or help me, Lord.
Amen.
You know, and it would almost appear that God sifts and sifts the perceiver. Why? So that they will be tools well fitted for building his body here on earth. You know, Raymond, perceivers also rejoice to see evidence of brokenness in others because they know the good that awaits.
Wow, Pam. There's some strong meat here.
That's right.
Let's go on. Let's go to the 6th point here. Has only a few or no close friends, and we're talking about perceivers. A, perceivers often go through life with one or two good friends. Ours, sometimes none at all. As they mature in the Lord, they realize that this is normal for them, that God made them that way, and they can be comfortable in who they are.
That's right.
See, they're not going to be dependent so much on people. They're going to be more independent. B, The Levites were the only one tribe uniquely set apart from the rest to minister to the Lord in the temple. So we could compare the perceiver. They have been called apart to spend much time in prayer, to bring God's word to the body of Christ, and to uphold God's highest standards. As we continue to look at the perceiver, we find that they don't always have luxury of many friendships because time for friendships sometimes limit their call to a ministry of prayer. Prayer is required of them, and they have to take it seriously and commit to it. Part 2 is, broad friendships require a degree of tolerance for people with different standards and beliefs. Perceivers just cannot compromise. Three, under that, God's gifting allows the perceivers to enjoy being alone with God or with Him.
You know, Ray, that makes me think of our good friend who's gone on to heaven now,
Brother
Archer.
Yeah. Well, you know, it really does, Pam, doesn't it?
It really does. But we can't get sidetracked here. Number seven in the characteristics of a perceiver says, views the Bible as a basis for truth, belief, action, and authority. You know, perceivers are in the Word a lot.
Yeah, they are.
They have love for studying the Bible. They believe there is no other dependable basis for fruit but the Bible.
But the Bible.
And you know, John the Baptist's call was based on the Word of God. He knew the Old Testament scripture, Isaiah 40, verse 3, a voice of who cries, prepare in the wilderness the way of the Lord, clear away the obstacles. Make straight and smooth in the desert a highway for our God. John the Baptist knew that he was the living, awaited voice of one crying in the wilderness.
Amen.
Jesus desired to assure John that he was indeed the Christ when John the Baptist had been thrown into prison. So he said to the Baptist's disciples in Luke 7 and 22, so he replied to them, go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news, the gospel, preached to them. John saw the scriptural evidence in that answer since he knew the prophecies about the Messiah and what he would do. And you know, the last thing there is so very important. Perceivers depend on the Holy Spirit to illuminate the Word to them.
Okay, that's great. Pam, 8, they boldly operate on spiritual principles. Part A under 8 is perceivers extract principles from the Bible that they apply to their daily life. They're very demanding of themselves about this. B, children who have this gift tend to be very strict with themselves. C, teenagers with this gifting are usually the ones who need no added restrictions imposed on them. And part D, the perceiver is a principled person in area of his life. They are truly the standard bearers of the church. And E, they truly believe they operate in Matthew 5 and 37. Let your yes be simply yes, and your no be simply no. Anything more than that will come from the evil one. F, they are the ones that hold up God's righteousness and say, this is what we ought to aim for. If it weren't for perceivers, many of us would settle for much less. We definitely need the perceiver in the body of Christ.
Amen, right. And, you know, a characteristic 9 is, I think most of us can relate with this. It says that the perceiver is frank, they're outspoken, and they don't mince words.
Amen.
And you know, Raymond, this characteristic often gets the perceiver in trouble because before they're fully mature, they can be very frank, outspoken, and they can hurt some feelings. And so they can get in trouble as they are maturing in their gift.
Amen.
But a mature perceiver is the most exciting person to be around. And the reason why is because you can count on them being honest, upfront, and candid. And yet they're going to be guided by wisdom and God's love.
Amen.
A mature perceiver is also transparent, and they never beat around the bush. I like that about them too. And then once again, let's look at John the Baptist. He warned of judgment. He told selfish people to share. He told the tax collectors to be honest, and he told the soldiers not to misuse authority. His words held such power that thousands flocked to the wilderness to hear him. Maybe we need more perceivers in the church today.
Hey, good, Pam. 10, a perceiver is very persuasive. They're persuasive in methods of speaking.
That's right.
This persuasiveness stems from the fact that a perceiver has they have such strong convictions. To them, things are right or wrong. They are going to let their opinions be made known.
That's right.
Let's look at their next characteristic. In 11, they grieve deeply over the sins of others. The perceiver will inwardly and sometimes even outwardly weep when he sees someone or she sees someone involved in serious sin. Why? Because the perceiver knows that sin carries within itself the seeds of destruction and would spare the person the consequences of his sins if he could. But the perceiver knows that salvation is the only way to reap the consequences.
Not to reap the consequences.
Not to reap the consequences. I'm sorry. Not to reap the consequences. So the perceiver will pray for the convicting power of the Holy Spirit to bring the person to repentance.
Amen. You know, this next one is number 12, and it says that a perceiver is eager to see his own blind spots and to others help others see theirs. I like the way it's phrased there, Ray. It talks about the perceiver seeing his first and then helping someone else see theirs.
Amen.
And like it says in Luke 6:41-42, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye?
Come on.
How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take the speck out of your eye," when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite.
Come on.
First take the plank out of your eye, then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Well, guess what? All of us, Ray, have blind spots.
Blind spots.
That's the plank that's in our eye. The plank is our blind spot.
Amen.
And you know, when you're driving, the area over the driver's left shoulder is considered their blind spot, because they can't see in that spot in the rear-view mirror. So it is in life. You have blind spots.
Amen.
And a perceiver will sound the warning when there's a blind spot, and a person just keeps on his predetermined course, not seeing the damage or the collision coming. The perceiver will warn. He will let them know about the blind spot. And, you know, when we're ready for God to deal with us about our blind spots, one of the best things we can do is find a friend with the gift of perception and request their discernment. Amen?
Amen. Number 13, perceiver desires above all else to see God's plan worked out in all situations.
Amen.
Part A, perceivers discern God's plan and will never let personal desires get in the way of that plan for themselves or others. Part B, when a perceiver counsels another person, a phrase you might hear is like this: you need to let go of your plans and discover what God's plan is for your life. Now, that's what they're going to tell them.
That's right.
And C, part C, is perceivers are often given insights, visions, and revelations so that they will know God's will on a matter. So let's look at Simeon in Luke 2:29-32. And now, Lord, here's what he's saying. You are releasing your servant to depart, leaving this world in peace, according to your word. For with my own eyes I have seen your salvation, which you have ordained and prepared before in the presence of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and to bring praise and honor and glory to your people Israel.
Amen, Ray. And you know, so we have to desire above all else for God's will and his plan to be worked out in all situations.
Amen.
And what is one of our ministry scriptures? Jeremiah 29:11?
Yes. For I know the thoughts and plans I have for you, saith the Lord.
Plans to
prosper you.
And not to harm.
Not to harm you, but to bring you an expected end.
Right. Or another translation says, give you a hope and a future.
And I do like it saying a good.
A good one.
He always brings the good and the better and the best.
Amen. And then you like to quote the scripture that says, he makes us rich in what he adds. No.
Proverbs 10:22. It says that the blessing It maketh us rich.
And it adds?
It adds no sorrow with it.
Amen.
So get revived, folks, out there.
Amen.
Get to praising God for the blessing. See, it's the blessing that makes you rich. You're not rich because you're blessed. The blessing of the Lord makes you rich.
That's right.
The blessing starts from salvation all the way through the whole plan.
Amen.
And there's more than just getting saved. It's being committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And once you commit your total life to God, then you'll see your whole life begin to change and things will begin to brighten up. And those things that you've been looking down, you'll start looking up and expecting the good things of God.
Amen. So we just want to leave you with that thought. We didn't quite get through these 20 characteristics. We'll pick up where we left off next week and complete that. I encourage you once again to pull the information off of the website. Fill out the worksheet so that you can see what your motivational giftings are. And so I'm going to ask our announcer to come and tell you how to get in touch with us and give you all the information of finding us on the web. God bless you, and we'll see you next week.
It's that time again. Time to say goodbye. But before we do, let me invite those of you who have not received Jesus as your personal Savior to pray this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Your word says in Acts 2:21, "Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." I am calling on you. I pray and ask Jesus to come into my heart and be Lord over my life according to Romans 10:9-10. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I do that now. I confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead. Now declare, I am now reborn. I am a Christian, a child of Almighty God. I am saved. Praise the Lord. I want to encourage you to write us at Victory in Living Ministries at 5221 Shiver Road, Keller, Texas, 76244. Take time and email us at Victory in Living, that's all one word, victoryinliving@aol.com. Visit us at our website, Victory in Living Ministries. Again, that's all one word, victoryinlivingministries.org. Until next week, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. According to Numbers 6:24-26.
Dear Lord, I'll be a witness if you will help my weakness. Well, I know that I'm not worthy, Lord, of thee. By eyes of faith I'll see thee upon the cross of Calvary. Dear Lord, I'll cry, let me thy servant be. Oh, Jesus, use me. Well, and oh Lord, don't refuse me, for surely there's a work that I can do. Well, and even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. Well, though the cost be great, I'll work for you.